Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrites with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, "If you, being a Jew, live in a manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews?" May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Beloved.
So we're on target in our worship when we focus on Jesus. And so whenever we come together as a church body, then that should be our goal. Focus on Jesus. And that can take many different pathways. But oh, God the Father is glorified and God the Son is glorified when we do that. And folks, the way we do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore the Godhead is lifted up when we worship together. Let's bow our heads right now. Let's continue to worship. We focus on the gospel this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to meet together as a body of believers. Father, help us never to take this for granted. It's a precious gift that you give us. And God, we have been blessed this morning in our worship time. May that continue to take place as we humble ourselves before you. We look at this truth that is before us. So, Father, we ask for your help. We realize that we cannot, in our fallen humanity, understand your word. It takes your work in us to bring us to understanding. And Father, that's true. We realize even before we came to you, it's your work in us. And now that work continues. So you be glorified, we pray, as we study together with ears that are open to truth, with hearts that are humble before you. May you be glorified, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 If you add any human work or ceremony or ritual or the keeping of the law to the gospel, it is no longer the gospel. Go back to Galatians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Galatians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. There were certain professing Jewish Christians in Jerusalem who, it seems, tried to compel Titus, a Greek Christian, to be circumcised. And the whole point of these Judaizers was that to become a Christian, you must put your faith in Christ and become a Jew. Look at verse 3, Galatians chapter 2, verse 3. Paul says, "Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised." So the Apostle Paul refused to submit to this pressure. The reason he gives, we see in verse 5. Look at it with me, verse 5. Paul says, "To whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Folks, think about this morning. If Paul had yielded to the demand for Titus to be circumcised under these circumstances, Paul would have destroyed the truth of the gospel. He would have turned away from the truth of the gospel. And the mission to the Gentiles would be over because Paul would have been holding to a false gospel, just like those Judaizers. We understand this morning that the gospel is the good news, that our great need of getting right with God was purchased fully, and I emphasize fully, when Christ died for our sins and He was raised from the dead. And folks, the only way to enjoy this gift of grace is by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. If you add any requirement, I'll emphasize that again, and you'll hear me say it several times this morning. If you add any requirement which encourages people to rely on their own efforts or their own works, you destroy the gospel. It is not the gospel when we add anything to the grace of God. And therefore, the Apostle Paul draws a line in the sand and he takes his stand for the gospel. Titus would not be compelled to be circumcised, and the truth of the gospel would be preserved. Now let's move to our passage this morning, Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. And I want you to notice, first of all, there's more trouble for the gospel. So here again in this passage, we see that the truth of the gospel is threatened. Something happens in Antioch that will be a danger to the gospel. The Gentiles would actually be compelled to live like Jews. Now think about this. In Jerusalem, the issue was circumcision. And in Antioch, the issue is the Jewish dietary laws. And in both cases, the Judaizers are trying to force Gentile Christians to submit to Old Testament law. And their position is this, that you become a Christian through faith in Jesus Christ and obeying the law of Moses. See, that's the false gospel. That's the false teaching. It's putting your faith in Christ and obeying the law of Moses. I want you to notice two terms that make this connection between the event with Titus and the events in Antioch. The first term I would draw your attention to is the word compel. Go back to verse 3. In verse 3, Paul says, "Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised." And then look at verse 14. Verse 14, Paul says to Peter, "Why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews?" You see, the same action is taking place. The same situation is taking place. Gentile Christians are being compelled to live like Jews. The second term is the phrase, the truth of the gospel. Go back to verse 5. Verse 5. Paul says, "To whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue in you." Look at verse 14. Paul says, "But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel." So again, we see a connection between what was happening with Titus and now what's happening in Antioch. So in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, Paul teaches us that we can contradict the gospel in our life not only by requiring circumcision. See, that was what was happening in the first century. But now we bring it to our lives today. Also by adding any requirement to the gospel. We move down that same pathway that those false teachers did in the first century. In other words, here it is again, I'll say it again. Anything added to the gospel of God's grace alone, through faith alone, in the crucified and resurrected God-man Jesus Christ, destroys the gospel. It's no longer the truth of the gospel. It's no longer the good news. It's no longer the gospel. Brothers and sisters, this false teaching is alive and well in our world today. When someone says that you are saved from your sins by putting your faith in Jesus Christ and something else, and baptism, and communion, and keeping the Ten Commandments, and good works, whatever it may be, mark this down, that is a false gospel. That is not the true gospel. The true gospel has been perverted. So Paul again, as we come to this passage this morning, Paul again is defending the gospel. I want you to see that the central event in this passage, Galatians 2, verses 11 to 14, is Paul's confrontation with Peter. So look at verse 11. Paul says, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed." Now the truth of the gospel was at stake, and Paul was clearly willing to confront Peter. Now keep in mind, we've talked about this in a previous sermon. Paul was the messenger of Jesus Christ. Paul was called by Jesus Christ. He was sent out by Jesus Christ, and that's the way that he operated. That's his mindset now as he sees what Peter's doing and he confronts Peter. I think we also need to understand as we look at this passage this morning that this confrontation was not evidence of a long-standing or a continuing or existing conflict between Peter and Paul. They were both apostles of Jesus Christ. They both had received the gospel by revelation. They both had shared the same gospel. And so the conflict here in our passage this morning seems to be a temporary inconsistency in Peter's behavior. I guess if you wanted to say it very plainly, it's one instance or one situation where Peter just messed up. And he messed up big time in this situation. And Paul confronts him because of that. This is not, folks, a deep doctrinal division or a difference in principle between these two men. Now, let me take just a few minutes and let me summarize from the passage and from other places in the Scripture what took place there in Antioch. First of all, we see in the passage that Peter comes to Antioch and begins to eat with Christian Gentiles. Verse 11 says Peter came to Antioch. Verse 12 says that Peter would eat with the Gentiles. Now, the reason that is such a big deal is that Jews didn't do that. There was such a separation between the Jews and the Gentiles that Jews would not do that. But now, Peter now is a Christian. And that moves him past his Jewishness, the operation of being a Jew. And so we see here, he comes to Antioch and he eats with the Gentiles. Number two, notice that certain men came from James. Now this would be the James mentioned in Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, who was a leader of the church in Jerusalem. This may have been Paul's way of saying that these men came from the Jerusalem church where Paul was a leader. Number three, Peter becomes afraid of this group. The last part of verse 12 says that Peter was fearing those who were of the circumcision. So these men come down from Jerusalem and Peter responds, his response is he's afraid. He's afraid when these men come down from Jerusalem. Number four, his fear causes Peter to draw back and to separate himself from the Gentile Christians. Verse 12 says, "But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself." In other words, he withdrew from the Gentile believers and separated himself from them. Number five, the rest of the Jewish Christians, and get this now, even Barnabas, Paul's co-worker, Paul's partner, withdrew and joined this hypocrisy. Look at verse 13. "And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy." Now, you get the idea of what's happening here in this church at Antioch. Number six, Peter was to blame. He was guilty of wrong. Paul says in verse 11, "I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed." This was Peter's fault. And then number seven, Paul rebukes him to his face, verse 11, and then Paul gives the assessment of this situation and the content of his rebuke in verse 14. Look again, verse 14. Paul says, "But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, 'If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews?'" Folks, this action by Peter and the rest was out of step with the gospel. And this was serious for Peter, and it's serious for us. If Peter, think about this, if Peter could get out of step with the gospel, could we not also get out of step with the gospel? Something we have to guard against. Something we have to be aware of. Now let's dig a little deeper and let's understand in some detail what's happening here. So let's now examine Peter's fellowship with Gentile believers. Notice in verse 12, Paul says, "For before certain men came from James, he," that's Peter, "would eat with the Gentiles." Again, verse 14, "If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews?" Now, folks, what that means, what's happening here is that before this event, before this mess up, if you want to say it, by Peter, he was enjoying the freedom of the gospel. Not only was he not requiring that Gentile believers become Jews by circumcision or keeping the dietary laws of the Old Testament, but he realized that even he as a Jew was free to, in Christ, to live as a Gentile. You see, he was living in the freedom of the gospel. And then this event took place. Now, how did Peter come to this freedom? How did that happen in his life? I want you to hold your place in Galatians 2 and turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Now let me give you some context here of Acts chapter 10. The Apostle Peter was busy sharing the gospel with Jewish people in Judea. That's what's happening here in this part of the book of Acts. But God had other plans for him. God sent a vision of a great sheet descending to him and let down to the earth. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals and wild beasts and creeping things and birds. And a voice came to Peter and said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter's first response was, I'll put it in my language, "Lord, I won't do it." And of course, every time I read that statement, it makes me smile because he calls him Lord, then he says, "I won't do it." And so there's a conflict there even in his statement. You see, his Jewish heritage and his Jewish way of life would not allow it. Certain animals, certain things were unclean, and yet God now is pressing on him and showing him very clearly that these things are not. They're okay. See, God broke this with Peter. The Lord says in verse 15, we're in Acts chapter 10, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Now, we may not fully understand this. We may not comprehend this. A Jewish person would. But this is a life-changing moment for Peter. And I would add to it, it's a life-changing moment for the church and for the world. Because what this means is that the gospel would not be limited to the Jewish people. You see, that was the first movement of the gospel. And now as God's working in Peter's life, we see that's changing. The Messiah, Jesus, had come, and the sacrificial and the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament had done their preparation work, and Peter was to let them go. Obedience to the law was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And then, to prove his point and to make sure that Peter understood what was happening in his life right at this moment, God then sent him to the house of Cornelius, who was a Gentile. Look at verse 28. Acts chapter 10, verse 28. So we'll pick it right up in the passage. Peter now comes to Cornelius and his family, and these are the words of Peter. He says, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Brothers and sisters, this is the freedom of the gospel. This is where God has now brought Peter. You see, the gospel is not just for the Jews. It's not just for the Gentiles. It's for all, for Jews and Gentiles. And God has brought this Jewish man, Peter, to this point in his life. And now God sends him to this Gentile Cornelius. Folks, it means that there is nothing in a Gentile that should keep a Jew from being with him to seek his salvation. That's what Peter's experiencing here. And so Peter now shares the gospel with Cornelius and his family, and they, by God's grace, put their faith in Jesus Christ alone, for their salvation. So they're saved. There's evidence of that salvation. Peter then goes back to Jerusalem. Go to chapter 11. Chapter 11, and look at verse 2. Peter goes back to Jerusalem, and then immediately he begins to get pushback from Jewish Christians, or maybe I should say professing Jewish Christians. Look at verse 2. "And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him." In other words, we're not given their words, but it's like, "What are you doing, Peter? Why did you go to the home of this Gentile? Why did you share the message of Jesus with these Gentiles?" Now, we get it in this statement by Luke when he says, "Those of the circumcision contended with him." So that even shows us the seriousness of this contention. So he explained to them what happened with Cornelius. His conclusion to them is found in verse 17. Look at Acts chapter 11, verse 17. This summarizes it. Peter says, "If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God?" So this is God's work. God sent me. I preached, I proclaimed, they received the gospel. This is God's work. And folks, this whole event with Cornelius was life-changing for Peter. He came to that point that he believed that not only did Gentiles not have to keep the Old Testament law of circumcision or the Old Testament ceremonial, dietary laws to have the same blessings as Jewish Christians, but he also believed that Jewish Christians are free from the same laws. And so both Peter and Paul have come to the truth of the gospel through the revelation of the Lord. This gospel is by God's grace through faith alone in the crucified, resurrected God-man, Messiah, Jesus. And folks, that's all. That's the gospel. That's it. And when Peter ate with the Gentile believers in Antioch, he was in step with the gospel. He was enjoying the freedom of the gospel. He was standing in freedom, and he was honoring the all-sufficiency of Christ by faith, and he was walking in love toward those fellow believers. Another way to say it is he was living by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That was the Apostle Peter. That's where God brought him. But then, something happened. Something happened. Peter stumbles. The Judaizers come to Antioch. We know why they came. They came, they had twisted the gospel. They sincerely believed that to be a Christian, you placed your faith in Jesus and you kept the law of Moses. And see, and they sincerely believed that Paul and the other apostles were sharing a false gospel. And so they come to Antioch. It's like they're following Paul throughout the Mediterranean. They come to Antioch. They're connected with James, I believe, just because they're from the church in Jerusalem, and James is the leader of that church. One thing we know for sure about these men, Peter was afraid of them. Verse 12 speaks about Peter's response when these men from Jerusalem came. Paul says, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Now, we don't know exactly why Peter feared. We can only guess. But we do know that he had been confronted by this same group after he shared the gospel with the Gentile Cornelius. And so he had experience with these men. And folks, the response of fear from Peter was this. He cut off fellowship with his Gentile brothers and sisters. And when he did that as a leader, as an apostle, you know what happened? Others followed him. Others went after him and followed him. Barnabas and the other Jews did the same. Now just for a moment, put yourself in the place of these Gentile Christians in Antioch. They had heard the true gospel. They had heard how they could be saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone with nothing else, and that they would become one body in Christ, both Jews and Gentiles. And then the Apostle Peter separates himself from them. He withdraws from them because they're Gentiles. I would say that that would bring confusion, that would bring sorrow, that would bring disappointment to the lives of these Gentile Christians. Paul says in verse 14 that Peter and the rest were not being straightforward with the truth of the gospel. In other words, they were not walking right with the truth of the gospel. They were out of step with the gospel. Folks, the receiving of the gospel by faith changes the way that we live. It changes the way that we respond to people. And brothers and sisters, there is a life that is in step with the gospel, and there is a life that is out of step with the gospel. The Apostle Paul would tell the believers in Colossae, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, he would say, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. And so we receive the gospel for salvation by grace through faith in Jesus. And folks, we live the gospel for sanctification by grace through faith in Jesus. And we don't attain the benefits of the gospel by cleaning up our own lives in our own strength and our own power. We obtain forgiveness and joy and peace and power through a daily dependence upon Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. And yet what we see in this passage is that in a moment of weakness, because of fear, in a moment of weakness, Peter trusted in himself and he trusted in the law for righteousness. And he put himself back under the law, and therefore he separated himself from those Gentile Christians. And his decision of weakness affected others. Can that happen today? It can. It can. So let me bring this together now and ask this question. So how can the gospel protect us from living in fear, hypocrisy, and legalism? Because see, this is what happened to Peter. First of all, the gospel protects us from fear. The gospel does not bring fear. As a matter of fact, the gospel, the true gospel, and when we receive it, you know what it does to fear? It casts it out. It removes it. So the gospel protects us from fear. It brings confidence. It brings hope. It brings boldness. See, the gospel proclaims that God is for you. And so in the past, when we feared God and we feared Him because of our sin and our place with Him, the gospel removes that barrier. God is for us, and He proved that by sending God the Son to die in our place and be raised from the dead. The Apostle Paul would say it this way in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" And folks, that person who hears and believes the gospel says, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" You see, that's living in the gospel. Number two, the gospel also protects us from hypocrisy. Peter and Barnabas and the others were being two-faced when they withdrew from eating with the Gentile Christians. They were saying one thing with their words and they were saying another thing with their actions. They feared man and therefore they put up a front. This is out of step with the gospel. The gospel will give security and confidence and a willingness to stand for what is right. Do you realize this morning that Jesus never put up a front to save Himself? He did not avoid suffering and shame. He willingly went through it. And a life centered on Jesus and His gospel will actually cut the root of hypocrisy. Number three, the gospel protects us from legalism. Legalism requires that a person do some works of the law to be accepted by God. And folks, that is not the gospel. And by his actions, Peter put himself and the Gentile Christians under bondage to the law. The heart of the gospel is the giving of Christ by the grace of God and the receiving of Christ by faith. And no works and no law is involved. Think about this. If Titus has to be circumcised to be accepted in Jerusalem, or if the Gentile Christians in Antioch have to keep the Jewish dietary laws to enjoy fellowship, then God's grace is nullified and Christ died in vain. The answer to fear, hypocrisy, and legalism is the gospel of God's grace through Jesus Christ. Let's make it our aim in all that we do to exalt the sovereign free grace of God rather than the achievements of man. And if we do this, brothers and sisters, we will be in step with the gospel. Let me close with these two simple questions. Have you received the gospel by faith? Are you living the gospel by faith? Let's bow our heads. Father, we recognize and we acknowledge very clearly that this is your work. The word that is before us this morning is your word. The ability to declare it this morning is your work. The receiving of it today is your work. And yet, God, in your purpose and plan, we're the ones who are here. We hear it. We respond to it. And God, I pray that the word that we've looked at this morning will be taken by you through your Spirit, and you will work in our hearts. Father, it may be a work of salvation for someone here today. It may be the work of sanctification in the lives of your people. But God, we clearly declare this is your work. And God, we leave it to you. Help us now to simply, by your grace, humble ourselves before you in gratitude for the gospel, in deep thankfulness for what you've done in years past to preserve it and protect it so that we have it today and we can share it with others. To you be glory in it all. We pray in the name of Jesus our Savior. Amen. Amen. Amen.